Buckhorn UMC's Church Podcast with Lead Pastor Benny Oakes. Buckhorn Church seeks to be a Christian family that worships and grows in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to put our faith and love to work in the world.
Our epistle lesson comes to us this morning from the second letter to the Corinthians from Paul. It's in chapter 4, beginning with verse 7, going to 15. Hear now the word of God. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Here ends the reading. Our Hebrew lesson comes to us from the prophet Jeremiah. In the first chapter, beginning with verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak before I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, let the meditations of all our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, as the one who stands before you now, I pray that either because of me or even in spite of me, Lord, still your word will be faithfully proclaimed and your name glorified. Through Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. My 4-year-old, Carter, has been my buddy lately, which has been a joy to me, and especially considering the fact that Carter just loves whoever she wants to love. And there's sometimes that she loves me, and there's sometimes where she does not want to have anything to do with me. So the last couple of weeks have been just absolutely awesome. In fact, I remember fondly that, several days we have gotten up in the morning, and she's wanted to cook eggs. And so we'll get the step stool out, and I'll put the step stool in front of the counter, and she'll get the eggs out. I'll hand them to her. She gently carries them over to the counter, put them up there. She gets up on the step stool. I do the cracking, but I hand her the egg so she can open it. And so when she opens the egg, she's proud of herself that she doesn't get any shell in there. She puts the shell to the side, and then she has to beat them. So she takes the fork, and she's beating them. And we just love our pastime of cooking breakfast together. I've even gotten to the point now where, even though my wife doesn't think this is a great idea, I pull the stool over there to where the stove is and allow her to pour the eggs into the frying pan. And so as she's doing all this, I am so thankful that I just have this time with my beautiful daughter who just thinks I'm the greatest. It doesn't happen for long, does it? You know, those of us that have children know, especially when they get to be teenagers, they don't want to even be seen with us, much less do things with us. I know because I've got a couple of my own as well. So this time I've been really enjoying with Carter. In fact, yesterday I want to tell you that we enjoyed the beautiful weather together. We got outside. We played games like baseball, although she and I are learning to catch each other's throws. We still had fun. We played a little basketball. We kicked the soccer ball around a little bit. We played with chalk. We went for walks. And when you go for a walk with Carter, she has to take everything with her. So she's got her baby. She's got the baby's backpack. She's got anything she carry in her arms. The thing is that when we get halfway down the street, she wants to hand this over to me. So being far away from home, I've learned to swallow my pride and humility because I have to carry the baby just so. And everybody can see that I have a plastic doll in my arms, but it doesn't matter to Carter. She wants me to carry that baby, and she wants me to carry it just so. We had a wonderful day yesterday. And even after supper, we decided that Carter and I were going to share with the rest of the family that was there. Our two oldest daughters were sleeping over at a friend's house. And so Monica, Abby, and Carter and I walked down to the local park. And so we got there and we played on the jungle gym and we played tag and chase and swang on the swings. And it was just awesome. And on the way home, you know, Abby and I were walking together and Carter and Monica were following close behind, but a little bit slower because Carter's energy had given out a little bit. And she says to Monica at some point, "Mom, will you pick me up? Will you carry me?" And she goes, "Honey, I can't carry you the rest of the way. It's just too far. You're too heavy. Ask your dad. He's strong." Well, I was okay with that. I was actually feeling pride in the fact that, here I am, the strong father. I do have the ability to carry my daughter. She's only 4 years old. She's not that big. I can carry her the rest of the way. I'm thinking all this in my mind before I hear her say, "No, Daddy can't carry me. He's not strong." Totally took the air out of my tires, deflated who I was. I just thought, man. And then she says something really interesting. She said, "But God is strong." Well, I had to have a moment there with myself and think, you know, this is my pride getting in the way. Who is it that actually has the strength here? Is it me? Or is it God? After all, isn't it everything that we should give God thanks for, that we have the strength to do the things that we do? I was reminded humbly by my 4-year-old daughter of this fact. As bitter a pill as it was to swallow, I swallowed it. And then I started thinking about this scripture. You know, it's not who we are and what we can do, but it's who God is and what God can do. Our joy is to be able to participate. You see, God does things a little bit differently than we do. He sees differently than we do. He can see through and see all the way to the heart of people. I'll give you a good example of this. I want to tell you one of my favorite stories from the Bible. So it appears that the people Israel, called by God, get to be God's children for a while, and they are so overjoyed that they actually start looking around and they see things that they want. They see other countries, other people around them that have something that they don't have. They have a king. The people of Israel don't have a king. So they come to God and say, "God, we want a king." And God says, "Why do you want a king? You got me." And they say, "God, we want a king. But you've got me. God, we want a king. We actually need a king." I'm not sure if you've ever been in a store with your child or someone else that you're with that knows that you have money, and they look at you and say, I need this. I need to have this. But you don't really need it. Yes, I need it. I need it. Israel needed a king. And so God relented and said, "Fine. Okay." So Samuel, he appointed Samuel to give them a king. And the king's name was Saul. Saul was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. He would have been a center on a basketball team somewhere, probably. Handsome, just absolutely kingly looking, right? So he becomes Israel's first king. And we won't go on into all the details, but at one point, God decides that Saul's not going to be king anymore. And Samuel's really distraught about this because he thought Saul was a good king. And so God says to Samuel, how long are you going to grieve over this person, Saul? Listen, I'm going to appoint a new king. In fact, what I want you to do is to take your horn of oil, because I'm going to anoint a new king. I want you to go to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, and I'll show you among his sons, I will tell you who the next king is going to be. So I can imagine how Samuel felt. He's really excited. He's going to anoint a new king. Comes into Jesse's house, and they sacrifice a bull, which was common. And they sanctified themselves. They were ready to now stand in the Lord's presence for the new king to be anointed. Everybody's got goosebumps and ready for this to happen. And so the likely choice would have been the oldest son. So the oldest son parades in front of Samuel. And Samuel waits for God to anoint the oldest son. And he doesn't. It's not him. So the oldest son goes. The second oldest comes up to be anointed. Surely this is the king that God has appointed. It's not the king. He asks him to go to the next one. The third one comes up. Not the king. The fourth son appears. Not the king. The fifth son comes up. He's not the king. The sixth son that was in the room comes up. It's not him. The seventh son. I mean, this is getting old after a while, isn't it? The seventh son comes up. It's not him. Samuel in desperation is going, well, Jesse, do you have any other sons? Is this all? Because God has not anointed these seven sons. The thought never occurred to Jesse that his youngest son might be the one. In fact, he was not even there. He was off in the field tending the sheep. The shepherd. Now we know, because we have sheepdogs, that dogs can tend sheep. They can keep sheep in line. This is a menial job. This is not a task for someone with lots of smarts, someone who has kingly powers, someone that's going to be appointed as the next king of Israel. The shepherd boy, the youngest, who Jesse didn't even think to invite to the sanctification party. He comes up, and God anoints David as king. Because he says to Samuel, see, you see the outward appearance of everybody, and you look at people for what they look like to you. But I see into their heart. I know David's heart. In fact, I was with David all of his life. God sees things a lot differently than we do sometimes. He sees Jeremiah quite differently than Jeremiah sees himself. Jeremiah says, God, I'm just a boy. God says to Jeremiah, I knew you. Even before you were born, I created you, formed you in your mother's womb. I've been with you every single moment of your life. And not only that, I'm giving you this task and I will continue to be with you. And so as you obey what I have given you to do, I will be with you so that you will not be afraid. You see, Jeremiah rightly knows that he cannot do these things God is asking him to do on his own. But with God, Jeremiah can do far more than he could ever dream or imagine. I attended a pastor's get-together earlier this week, and it was for our district, and District Superintendent Ray Broadwell preached a sermon, and one of the things he said stuck with me. He said, little is much in the hands of God. Amen? Little is much in the hands of God. And he reminded us of the story in Mark. Actually, it's in all of the Gospels, but particularly in Mark, where Jesus fed the 5,000. He tells his disciples boldly, "You feed them. Don't send them away to go get more food somewhere else. You feed them." And they say, "Well, you know, nobody brought any lunch except for this one kid. He's got, you know, a couple of fish and some bread." And he took it and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it, and everybody was satisfied. Everybody, all 5,000, had their fill. Enough so that there were 12 baskets of leftovers. I don't know, it doesn't say in Scripture what they did with them. They didn't have refrigerators back then, but they had leftovers afterward. Little is much in the hands of God. I guess it was last December, I was serving Spring Hill United Methodist Church, and I got a call the Sunday before Christmas. And it was my mentor, my colleague and friend, Pastor Terry Williams. And he says, "C.P. Stewart is in the hospital. He had fallen, broken his hip. He was having emergency surgery that Sunday in order to replace the hip. The catch was that C.P. was on in years, in his 90s. And with the heart condition that he had as well, he might not survive the surgery through the anesthesia. And so the doctor said, there's a 50-50 chance here of surviving." And CP very boldly says, I would rather die on the operating table than try getting my hip replaced than to spend the rest of my life not being able to walk or have the possibility of walking. And so Pastor Terry was asking me to visit this patriarch of the church, this leader in the community, this person who I came to love and adore. Who am I to go in to a hospital room and give this man comfort? I'm only a boy. His son David was there as well. I don't know, it was because maybe he asked me late at night and I was just kind of groggy when he called me on the phone. But I said yes, and I got my clothes on the next morning and I went to visit with CP and his son David. And we laughed and we talked and we joked, and he cried a little bit. I cried too. We prayed. And I just remember thinking that all the words that are coming out of my mouth right now are just not adequate. Especially for this man. They're not adequate at all, God. There's nothing that can come from me that is good enough. And so as we waited for the operator, the nurse and the folks to wheel him back for the surgery, we said one last prayer. And then they wheeled him off. And I remember sitting in the waiting room, reading a book and not really even saying too much to David anymore, his son. But we sat there together and we waited for the surgery. We waited for the news to come back. And on the one hand, I kept thinking, gosh, I hope it's really good news because I'm not sure I can deal with bad news right now. And even if it is good news, God, just, you know, give me the words to say something, you know, meaningful that would bless David or his father. And it turned out that the surgery was a success. And things went well. And I still left that hospital thinking that I need to give up doing this. It's my last year of divinity school. I'm not sure I can really go on. I'm only a boy. I cannot do this. And I remember a few months later, when CP actually did pass away, I went to the funeral home and I went to shake David's hand and tell him how sorry I was. And David just grabbed me a great big old bear hug and he said, "Benny, I'm so glad to see you. You know, that time that you spent in the hospital room meant the world to me and my dad. I am so glad that you came here today." And I thought I was there to comfort him, and he was actually comforting me. Wow. When you aim to be a blessing, sometimes you come back blessed yourself. Little is much in the hands of God. He texted me not too long ago and just again said, I was thinking of you. I just want you to know how special you are to me. Blessing me even more. Little is much in the hands of God. I think about this community. I think about the recent events with Blake Wicker and his passing. And the stories that have been told over and over again about his life and how he lived it. And I just was thinking the other day of how awesome it is to be thinking about bringing joy to someone else's life. That you would sit down and actually contrive little gadgets to make people laugh. You know? Some of you that know Blake know what I'm talking about. I saw the little round to it. It had a little round, little wooden thing that said to it on the front. So he could give out to people whenever they said, you know, if I only got around to it, I could do such and such. He said, well, here's a round to it. Little is much in the hands of God. I'm not sure how much he thought about how his gifts blessed other people. You know, truth be told, I've only known him for, about a month or two? And he's blessed my life, even now. Little is much in the hands of God. I think about the Moncure girls' soccer team. This little old school Moncure that if they can put 11 girls on the field, that's doing something. That's saying something. That's how small the school is. Never mind the fact that they were good enough to compete. Never mind the fact that they were good enough to win games. Never mind the fact that they actually went undefeated last year. Never mind the fact that as they went undefeated last year and beat teams they weren't supposed to beat, they did it with almost a 5-1 goal margin. Little is much in the hands of God. And you see, these stories resonate throughout our community. I'm sure that you can look back in your life and count some stories in your life where maybe you thought what you had was not enough. And on the other side of that situation, you came to understand little is much in the hands of God. And I think, church, when we go out from this place, when we go back into the world and we visit and see the people that God puts in front of us, will we be able to say with Jeremiah, I am only a boy, or I am only a child, I am only a girl, but I'm God's. Reminds me that St. Augustine once said, God loves each and every one of us as if there were only one of us. That's a special kind of love that he has for each and every person in this room. And as we understand how special we are to God, that God is always with us, does that give us courage to then do something with our lives? Something maybe that we haven't thought that we could do before? Because can't, never could, until he actually tried. Amen.